Feeding ourselves and our families healthy, home-cooked meals can feel like a daunting task, especially when the planning and prepping revolve around caring for young children, too. But the reality is, you're still going to expend the time to make some kind of a meal anyways. It's just likely to feel more stressful and end up less nourishing than you'd hoped for. In this episode, I interview Cassie Joy Garcia from Fed and Fit and New York Times bestselling author of 3 different meal planning cookbooks about her methods for preparing meals for her family with 3 young children in a way that saves time and money while also reducing food waste and building in the flexibility for something like a spontaneous pizza night. I personally feel way lighter and more inclined to take on a new habit like this, given the way that Cassie outlines it. And I hope that you feel the inspiration as well. Here we go.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, 2 naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Staying truly deeply hydrated with minerals while trying to conceive, during pregnancy and birth, and throughout your breastfeeding journey is very important. And nowadays, there are more options for this than we can even count. For Dr. Leah and I, ingredient quality is of top concern, and that's why we love Relight electrolyte powders by Redmond Real Salt. Relight contains Redmond's ancient unrefined sea salt, which contains 60 plus trace minerals in and of itself. Relight powders conveniently contain the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and even 2 forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavor is strawberry lemonade. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off your order of any of the other products that Redmond has to offer, including their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, bentonite clays, and more. Happy hydrating. Okay, so Cassie, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today to talk with us about meal planning. I am really excited to learn from you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
Yeah, so we met through Needed last year, and I feel like we just instantly connected, and I was really looking to you as a role model because of just everything that you've built as a mom and a business owner, and it's just nice to have people like you in my and Leah's back pocket, sort of like encouraging us and being somewhere to look forward to going to. So, all right, I just wanted to read your bio so that everybody and the listeners knew who you were and how to reach out and find you. So, Cassie Joy Garcia, a New York Times bestselling author, which is like the coolest thing in the whole world, of 3 different cookbooks, and they are called Cook Once, Dinner Fix, Cook Once, Eat All Week, and Fed and Fit, which is also the name of your popular food blog. Which is really, really great. And I use it all the time. I don't even know if I've ever told you that, but I also love your Instagram reels of, you know, I think it's so enjoyable. Most people would say that they enjoy watching those food prep reels where it's like happening really fast. And there's kind of this like sound in the background of the sounds of, you know, bowls swirling and like utensils clanging. And it's just beautiful. You did such a good job with it. And it's also not unattainable. Like your recipes are not where there's some obscure ingredient that I'm never going to use again for a year and a half. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Good. It should. I really enjoy it. So let me keep reading here. It says, eager to share her family, her living, healthy living secrets with the world, she started Fed and Fit in 2011. Wow, that's a long time. Good for you. Since then, she became a holistic nutrition consultant and transitioned her personal blog into a tremendously supportive and nimble online wellness editorial, backed by a small but mighty team of writers, researchers, and editors. After realizing that her own struggles to get a healthy homemade dinner on the table overlapped with the same struggles experienced by her readers, she decided that there must be a better way. Yep. The Cook Once method was born, and it has revolutionized how people cook. And Cassie lives currently in San Antonio, Texas, with her husband and 3 children. So I love that too, because you have 3 kids. I have 4 kids, and I'm just every single night I am in that position right now where I'm just like, what's for dinner? What are we going to make for dinner? And I really, really dislike it. I'm not somebody who loves to cook, but I can if I feel like I have the space to do it, you know. And I just wanted to have an episode here where we spoke with somebody like you who is a mom who has 3 little kids, who gets it, who is, you know, an expert in this field. You make things that are delicious, but also kid friendly and also meal prepped. And it's such a unique blend of something that I think we all need to learn as a skill, but it's hard, you know. So anyways, thank you for coming on, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Oh, thank you so much, Morgan. I am so excited to be here today and chat with you. It's been a minute since I've been on an interview, as Morgan learned 3 minutes ago, me trying to find a microphone that worked.
It's okay.
But I feel like I'm just bubbling over with, I just feel like there's this sense of urgency I have. There's people out there feeling discouraged, feeling like they don't know which way is up when it comes time to dinner time. They think that they're the only ones on earth that probably feel so overwhelmed at mealtime. And I just really want to make sure folks don't feel alone.
I really appreciate that because, yeah, I do. I kind of feel like a failure sometimes. And I know I put that pressure on myself, but I'm like, wow, if I had thought about this a couple of hours ago, I could have something in the crock pot going, or I could have done something. But then I just don't even have the ingredients in my fridge. And I open it and I'm like, what are we going to eat? Especially when health and eating healthy is a priority to you, it can feel even more discouraging when those sorts of moments happen, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, oh, it's cottage cheese and carrot sticks again for lunch. Here we go. This is what I do. And I develop recipes professionally. And I can't tell you how many times I've eaten a bowl of cottage cheese and carrot sticks for a meal.
Well, you know, and at least you've got a lot of macros there. You know, you've got a lot of protein and good fat, some veggies, some fiber, et cetera.
Yeah. It checks all the boxes. It's just very uninspired.
Yes, exactly. So before we started recording, you had said something that I thought was really inspiring about the ways that you've been kind of chugging over this idea and thought in your mind and what your goal was. And I wanted you to say that again for the listeners about the way that we transition into motherhood and how this affects our eating styles.
Yeah, something that's really been weighing on me a lot as – so every new stage of motherhood feels brand new, right? I feel like I am being born again into this role. So my girls are 6, 4, and 2. And it is, I'm not nursing anymore. We're out of the baby stage. My 2-year-old is all caps 2. Like, she is the full embodiment of what you would imagine a very typical 2-year-old might look and feel like. And so that's the pace of our home. And I feel like this is a totally different world. When I was freshly postpartum, I did a really good job of taking care of myself, I felt like, for the most part. I leaned on my freezer meals that I had prepped diligently ahead of time. And I accepted a lot of help, which I still think is important for mothers of all ages to do. But now we're in the stage where I have a little bit more of my, I have a little bit more room in the kitchen. I have a little bit more time. And I think something that I'm having to relearn is that my cooking style has to evolve again with this stage of life. Because if I don't stay on top of it, dinner doesn't just magically show up on the table, you know, unless we're headed to my parents' house, which we do once a week. And, you know, I'm like, Sunday family dinner, I like to tell friends we go because of the tradition. And really, I also go because it's a home cooked meal that I didn't have to make.
Yep.
And of course, to see family. But what I've been thinking about a lot is when we step into motherhood, let's say when you're a first time mom, and you have the baby, you know that so much in your life is going to transition and going to adjust. You know your sleeping habits are going to have to adjust. You know that how you care for yourself is going to have to change and shift. We used to take so many walks with our dog, and we don't take nearly as many of those anymore. They're still important, but it just doesn't happen as much. You know that the demands on your time are going to be different. But for some reason, we don't really think about how we're going to have to also go on the offense in prepping food for our home and for our family. And when we don't intentionally go on that offense, I think that we are a little surprised when dinner doesn't magically show up on the table. And then we feel guilty about the fact that we didn't think about putting those chicken breasts in the crock pot 6 hours ago with a salsa so we could have shredded chicken bowls for dinner. And so what I really tried to think through is not only coming up with systems that are a way for really busy parents to feel like they're staying on top of getting dinner on the table without having to lose their time and sanity and their entire budget, but also encourage people to lean in, because what it requires, Morgan, is prep. It requires prep, and nobody wants to do that. You know, just like if you're not someone who particularly enjoys working out, we all want to feel really strong and really healthy and grow our muscle mass, but we may not necessarily want to set aside the hour and a half to go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week to focus on strength training, right? We may not want to do that. And I think the same thing can be said for prep. Like, it's something that we just have to muscle through. Even if you're not someone who enjoys time in the kitchen, it's just, we have to make it a priority if you want to enjoy the fruits of those labors later on, meaning that dinner time, which is always the hardest time in my home. I don't know about you, between 4:30 and 5:30 is when my kids need me the most. And it's when I need to be left alone the most, because I have to get dinner on the table.
Yeah. And it's, I think that that's probably my biggest gripe with cooking, honestly, is that like, if my kids are for some reason all gone, like my husband takes them to the park or something like that, and I'm alone in the house, cooking's a joy. Like it's fun, you know, yes. And you're kind of just chugging around doing your thing. But what I loathe more than anything is being interrupted a million times when there's time sensitive things happening and food potentially burning, or I can't really focus, or I forget where I'm at with my teaspoons of whatever, and then I mess the whole thing up, and I'm just, you know what I mean? It's just such a reality of it as well. And then with prepping, I think I've actually maybe only, let me just think really quick, probably in my life, I have meal prepped like 4 or 5 individual times. And I think my biggest problem with it is worry that the food is going to go bad by the time I want to eat it. Is that like a normal thing to think about?
Totally normal. Yes.
Okay. And is it something that happens? Do you notice that? Or no, you meal prep and it's fine.
A little of both. So I think that there's a way to solve for that. So the first thing that when I think about so before I had children, when I thought about meal prep, it was like macro meal prep, right?
Yeah.
I was making food containers that were just dialed into what I exactly needed, what I wanted. And it was, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner containers, rinse and repeat. And I just ate those over and over again. Now with kiddos, what meal prep looks like, I think that if we shoot for feeding ourselves for 70% of the week, we're going to find everything we need. So instead of meal prepping for 5 days of the week, Monday through Friday, let's say if you're prepping on a Sunday and you're thinking, I'm going to meal prep all the way through Friday, I think that's too much. I think we need to prep 3 dinners at a time, because maybe your intention is to eat them, you know, later on in the week. You might need a little bit more. You might need a buffer time, right? Someone's for like in our world, my husband's coming home with my oldest from therapy, and she really wanted something for dinner. And he stopped and picked up dinner and walks in the house with it. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll put this back in the fridge for tomorrow. And I think that if we allow ourselves a little bit more flexibility with our time, things won't go bad as much. So I say prep 3 meals at a time and kind of cap it there.
Okay. And so that could be spread out over several days. It doesn't necessarily need to be 3 meals in a row that you're going to be eating. It's just that you have it ready to go.
Yes.
And you're reheating or something like that. Yeah. I think the other point for me when I think about meal prepping is that I like to be spontaneous like that.
Yeah.
And what if somebody invites us over, or what if we want to go out, or yeah, exactly. And then I'll feel like, shoot, we have all this food, but yeah, you could eat it later. I don't know why, but you're right. I've never thought about the idea of only prepping a couple of meals. To me, it feels like it was always a black or white on or off switch, like every day of the week, and diligent and no flexibility and stressful, or nothing, floaty, loosey-goosey, no food, cottage cheese and carrots every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's about finding that middle balance where you feel like you're not in turbulence anymore. Like, this is just what we do. And I will say I've felt the healthiest. My relationship with meal prep has felt the healthiest, if there is such a thing, if we can term that a relationship, but has felt the most stable when I do just that. I prep 3 dinners. I might prep a breakfast for myself, like a frittata, like egg bites, you know, or little bowls that I like to make for breakfast for myself. My girls, my kids eat the same thing for breakfast every morning, so they don't need to be prepped for the most part. But I found that if I prep a breakfast and I prep 3 dinners, family dinners, and maybe a couple things for me to consider for lunch, my week is just smooth as butter. And then that still leaves some windows, right? I'm still, that 3 dinners, that's leaving 4 other evenings for the week to consider for. And that's where we do things like every Tuesday, my husband makes tacos for our family. Or, you know, every Friday we have pizza, and once a week we'll do spaghetti with meat sauce. You know, it allows those kinds of family traditions. But on the days that I have prepped a dinner, I am always so thankful to past me, you know, for really looking out for future me.
It's like that Snoop Dogg speech where he's like, I want to thank me for me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Me for supporting me. It's so real, because I think, you know, just the, not to use the term busy too much, because I know that it's like, it's not something great to identify with, right? Like, well, how are you? Oh, I'm busy. You know, how often do we say that? And it's like, it just is the way that life is. It's never going to change. It's never going to be probably not busy, because it's full, I guess we could say. Like, how's life? It's very full. And there is a lot of moving parts. And then I think as like something that I'm starting to transition to now with my oldest being 8 is like the sports schedules and what are we doing now? Like he's off somewhere. One of the parents is off with him and da-da-da-da-da. And it just splinters the idea of the family meals sometimes, which is really important to us. And I do think it's something that is easy to get away from, the idea of like sitting down and eating a meal. And it's one thing that is really important in my family. We sit down and eat almost every, I mean, 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner together every single day. Now, whether it's a really good, nice home-cooked meal is not necessarily always the case, but like we have some of those traditions you mentioned. We do this thing called pizza and smoothies, like literally a pizza that you throw in the oven from Costco, like a frozen pizza with smoothies. And then to me, it makes it feel a little bit balanced, I guess. But so that's something that, yeah, my kids can come to sort of recognize and know that that's one of the things that we do. And it just kind of is that way. And when you were saying that about one of the days you, like Taco Tuesday or whatever, it reminded me when I was an exchange student in Sweden, in Swedish culture, and I might not be correct about these days of the week, so don't like butcher me as somebody who's Swedish and thinking about this, but there are these loose cultural structures where like on Wednesdays, everybody eats soup. Or like on Fridays, everybody eats fish or something like that, you know, and then on Fridays is when they have this time, it's called like mys dog, like M-Y-S, mysig, or like mysig dog. It's like a comfy day, cozy day. And if they're going to go and eat candy at one of the most, you know, the delicious, prolific candy stores that are all over Sweden, they do it on Fridays. So there's a little bit of this routine to the flow and the rhythm of the week too, which I like. I just have a hard time implementing, you know, but I like this idea of having 3 meals planned and prepped, easy to heat up, easy to have so that you're not straggling through, you know, not eating enough. That's one thing I struggle with is not eating enough and being postpartum and breastfeeding and then feeling my blood sugar crash, my mood plummet. You know, it's just not good for anyone to not be eating, to undereat. And women do that chronically so very much, especially when we become parents and then we're just picking off the plates of our kids. Like, we really need to not do that.
I know. I was literally just at our family's house and she had made air fryer chicken nuggets for, there were 6 kids in the house, ours included, for the kids and some cut up vegetables. And she was, her name is Morgan also. And her, she was like, Morgan says, Cassie, are you sure you don't want anything for lunch? I was like, no, I will just eat whatever my kids don't eat on their plates. And that's literally what I did. I went around 30 minutes later and I just ate the rest of their plate. And that's just, it's either cottage cheese and carrot sticks or 1.5 chicken nuggets times 3.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So what are some of the strategies that you like to teach parents, the things that you think that we should know that would be the most helpful practical tips of how to kind of go about this, situate it in our minds? And I mean, I love the tip of the 3 times a week for sure. That is big. And yeah, I mean, I know you have your system. So why don't you just lay it on us? Like what has been something you found through these years that helped parents the most with making sure that they're eating or making meals that are healthy, also that kids like. That's the other problem, you know? And really quick, actually, before you take off, this is a slippery slope because I've seen it happen with lots of friends or family where now there's like this sous chef thing happening where it's like every kid gets their own individual meal made. Yeah.
And no, ma'am.
It seems like when you have a toddler, it's easiest in the moment, but you're not thinking long term. And especially if you're going to have multiple children. And that's kind of the point of this episode is for larger families too. If there's multiple children, we cannot be sous chefing all of their meals. Meaning what I mean by that is just like making, you know, oh, well, Johnny wants pizza and Mary wants PB&J and Chaz wants a quesadilla or whatever. Like it has to, there, I mean, I guess you can do that. Everybody, to each his own, you can do that, but it's not going to make your life easier. And over time, they also then do not get the experience of trying different foods and like, you know, kind of suck it up, buttercup, like, yeah, there's broccoli today. Like we have to eat it, you know, and that exposure of different healthy foods that, yeah, of course they're not going to necessarily go choose the mushrooms, but like they may actually like them if they are exposed to them. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. That is so tricky. My husband, I think, has a tendency to want to be a short order cook like that. And it's, and I'm so grateful that Austin, he's not someone who enjoys time in the kitchen, but he'll check the box. He's very much an upholder in the world of like Gretchen Rubin's 4 tendencies, you know, and I'm grateful that I married an upholder. So he'll go in the kitchen, roll up his sleeves. And
what is an upholder? What are you saying? What did you just say?
Oh, is this, oh my goodness.
I don't know what you're saying.
It's a whole thing. So Gretchen Rubin, who is an author, podcaster, all kinds of fun things, she created this framework called the Four Tendencies, and you are one of four things. I think it's a free, pretty quick online quiz.
Okay, I'll put this in the show notes.
Okay, and the four types, tendencies, I should say, tendencies are, because you can kind of bounce around a little bit, I believe, is upholder, which means that you will very easily meet both internal and external expectations. So let's say you say, I'm going to start going. You wake up one morning, you're like, oh, I heard that I should be strength training 3 to 4 times a week to help build and maintain my muscle mass. I'm going to go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week. An upholder will do that because they said they were going to do it without a lot of struggle. And if someone else says, like I ask my husband, I say, Austin, I really need you to take Tuesday night dinners off my hands. How about taco night? It's easy to make. It's a fun weekly tradition, and I need you to make breakfast. He will just do it without question. He very easily meets external expectations. And then an obliger meets external expectations very easily, but struggles to meet internal expectations. Mm-hmm. So the analogy of going to the gym again, an obliger is best suited if they have a coach or a trainer who's waiting on them, or fellow athletes who are expecting them to be there. A questioner, which I believe is what I am, meets internal expectations. Or actually, no, we question, what is it? We meet internal expectations very easily, but we have a hard time meeting external expectations. I just have a lot of questions before I'm going to do what you say.
I love that.
And then I'm all bought in. And then a rebel resists both. So it's very interesting. It's fun to kind of see what you and your partner are and just see.
Wow, that is fascinating. I think I am probably a obliger. No, maybe a questioner. I do have a lot of questions about things. I'll get it done, but yeah, I have to like really feel like the reason's good enough. So I do ask a lot of questions about it. Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. Okay, so your husband will just like do it. He'll make sure that it happens. But then when it comes to the kids, sometimes when they want to ask, when they want different meals, he's a little bit more likely to.
Yes, he's likely to uphold with them and to oblige them, even though he's an upholder. Yes, exactly. And I will have to run in and be like, no, sir, we are not doing that. Like, I do not, to each their own. Every family is going to operate. It's like you have your own genetic blueprint. I believe that you have your own family blueprint of how you operate. Everyone is very different. So I don't want to alienate anybody. But in our family, I'm like, we are not short order cooking. This kitchen. Yeah. Because to your point, I want my kids to sit down at the dinner table and be exposed to a bunch of different things. But the way that I found now, there are plenty of nights. I would guess 100% of the nights, one of my three girls at the table says, ew, no, thank you. They probably don't even say no, thank you. They just say ew and push their plate away. So, you know, it's not, I don't have a perfect batting record by any means over here, but the exposure to these foods over time does help. And what I found with my girls is that if I plate their food, I have these little silicone plates that have little divided sections in them. And my oldest sometimes will ask for a big kid plate, and I'll give her one, and she's happy. She's 6. But for the most part, I found that if I separate their food as best I can for whatever meal I'm making, then they're able to look at it and understand what is what. I also try to give them something that I know they're always going to want, like fruit. They're always going to want to eat fresh strawberries or raspberries or something like that, or watermelon or peeled oranges. And then if it's possible, I try to give them some kind of a dip to dip something in. Ooh. And that usually helps. You know, if my kids, for some bizarre reason, this feels like just luck, they love roasted broccoli. But I think it really started because I had given them this like garlicky hummus dip thing that they could dip broccoli in, and then they just were off to the races. So that's what I found is a little bit easier. I think a divided plate, giving them the same thing that the rest of the family is eating. I give them all the garnishes and everything. You know, if we're having a taco night, a taco night's a great example. I will serve lime wedges on the plate with mine and my husband's. And like, you can't imagine a 2-year-old, you know, squeezing fresh lime juice on their taco, but I want it to be on her plate so that she can see the full representation of the meal. And it's a really colorful situation. So, and you never know, they might just start, she'll lick it and she'll say sour. Anyways, so those are some of the tips that I have for the little ones. Now for meal prepping, you the parent, you having a lot going on. I like to use the term richly scheduled. I heard that once upon a time and it really resonated with me. It's like, I do feel busy, but I don't feel busy in the bad way. There are times I feel busy in a bad way, but for the most part, I just feel very richly scheduled. I just have a very rich life. For those people, I think that when it comes to meal planning, the thing that I have found really helps me look forward to that each week is, instead of, when we think about meal planning for our week, you're probably thinking, wow, I'm going to have to make, let's just look at Monday through Friday. All right. Let's say you're eating 3 meals a day. So that's 15 meals that you have to plan. That is a lot. So when you sit down with your meal planning notebook, let's say it's Friday evening, the kids are asleep and in bed, and you're thinking, okay, tomorrow we're grocery shopping, and on Sunday I'm prepping. So Friday night I need to plan. And you're thinking, I have to plan 15 dinners or 15 meals. That feels really overwhelming. And so what I like to think about is, instead planning ingredients that you want to use and try to batch cook those ingredients and incorporate them across different meals. And I think that if we whittle those 5 dinners down to 3, that eliminates a lot. And then make lunch the same all week for yourself, if you can. If your kids are eating the same thing, and if they will eat something like a chickpea pasta, like a chilled tuna chickpea pasta, then I would just have that for the whole family for a couple days. And then for breakfast, I will eat the same thing for breakfast all week, and my girls eat liverwurst and eggs usually for breakfast, and fruit. It's these poor kids. They have no idea. We call liverwurst breakfast meat. And
that's amazing. Okay. So when you say eating the same thing every day of the meal of the week for lunch, that's one of the meals that you'd be prepping then? It was like a huge pasta chickpea salad thing?
Yes. And I've started preparing that for 3 meals of the week. So just like the dinners, I have found that if I prep for 5 full lunches, Monday through Friday, I have 1 to 2 that go to waste. Or by the time I get to meals 4 and 5, I'm sick of it.
Yes.
Like I am tired of chickpea tuna pasta salad. But if I have 3 of them, I can alternate. I can enjoy it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm not tired of it. It also doesn't go bad. So I have found that if I, again, reduce my expectations on how many meals I'm prepping for, it really helps. Breakfast, this is the same thing. I will just meal prep in advance. If I'm not just doing a smoothie or something like that for breakfast for myself, then a frittata, egg bites, something like that can really go a long way. So what we wind up prepping on our prep day is I think you will feel a lot lighter if you have prepped 1 breakfast for the week that you can enjoy for a couple days up to 3 to 4, a lunch that will take care of at least 3 lunches for the week, and 3 dinners. So we're looking at 5 different things that you're looking to prep. So instead of 15 meals, you're prepping 5, and the decision amount ratios like come way, way down. In addition to that, I really like to look at my dinners as an opportunity to batch cook. So what I mean by that, and this concept is really showcased well in Cook Once, Eat All Week, which was my second book. By far the most beloved book out there. And I was joking with a friend today, I'm working on my book proposal for my fourth book, and I'm using the same format that I had in my second book because it was just so, so well received. But I told her, I was like, it's the one with me on the cover with really bad extensions, because I didn't know how many copies we'd be printing. We have a hard time deciding between the two. The one where it looks like a professional was involved is the most recent one. The one with the bad extensions is me.
That's,
I have like
amazing.
An eyelash halfway, like false eyelashes falling off. Anyways, that book, though, the content of it, I think, is really gold. What we do is we batch cook 3 components for the week, and then we reassemble them into 3 different dinners. So the way that this could work, for example, let's use a pork shoulder. All right. If you've ever cooked a pork shoulder, you wind up with so much shredded pork. You're eating shredded pork for days. And you're probably eating the same shredded pork meal for days for the most part. And so what I like to do is, what if we go ahead and cook the pork shoulder, and let's say we grab 3 pounds of potatoes. All right. Cause that's usually, potatoes are sold and by 3 pound bags. And we find that green beans are on sale. It's the height of summer. They're local. They're on sale. I'm going to go ahead and grab these, this huge thing of green beans. What I say is, let's go home. Let's prep these 3 different components and then reassemble them throughout the week into 3 different dinners. We're going to do a chili. we're going to do some sort of a really cool casserole, and we're going to do a bowl, and we're going to have three different flavor profiles, three different kinds of meals. So you don't feel like you're eating the same foods over and over again, but all you had to do was batch cook those three components and reassemble them.
Wow. Okay. So each of those three dinners is a mix of pork, potatoes, and green beans, but like maybe, yeah, the chili obviously is going to be more of a soup, and then a casserole, maybe it's like a kind of Mexican spiced casserole, some form or something like that. Yes. So those types of variations that you're making, you're doing the day of, correct? Or are you still making out that on your prep day?
So it depends. What I like to do is in the world of the casserole, so this is what I just put into my book proposal. I wrote two of these. We are batch cooking chicken, so whole chickens. We go to the grocery store. We grab two big chickens. I'm going to cover one of them in seasoning, a jerk spice rub. The starch for this week, oh, pickles. What was the starch for that week? I think it might have been rice. Nope, it was black beans. And then we were going to do kale and poblano peppers for our vegetables. Oh. Okay. So what I wound up doing, roast the chickens totally. One of the chickens we break apart into chicken breast and thighs. The other one we save the thighs and we shred the breast meat on the other one. So we have three dinners represented by the hindquarters, the whole chicken breast with the jerk rub on it, and the shredded chicken. The jerk chicken with that yummy rub on it gets served with black beans and plantains and a mango poblano salsa. A really yummy fresh bowl. So what I'll do is prep that. Usually what I do is that's what we serve for dinner that night. So it's just done that night. But you could prep that fully and then you're just reheating the beans, the plantains, and the chicken and serving it with this fresh mango salsa that you made with the roasted pepper. Meal two is going to be a shredded what was meal two? Oh, it's okay. My goodness. This brain of mine. Okay, I know for sure. One of them is a Mediterranean orzo bake where we took the hindquarters of the two chickens and we put them into a casserole dish with dry orzo, a bunch of artichokes, sun-dried tomatoes, Kalamata olives. We chopped up the kale and put that in it together. I remember the third meal. Put it in there together and we put this casserole dish into the refrigerator as is with the dry orzo and everything right into the refrigerator. So let's say Tuesday night rolls around. You're like, I'm ready for that orzo bake. You pull it out and you pour chicken broth over it. And then you cover it with aluminum foil, stick it into your oven, and out pops this delicious, fluffy orzo bake with this roasted chicken in it with all these yummy flavors.
Wait, what? I've never considered doing that kind of a prep it, but not cooking it yet.
Yes, you just assemble, like assembly prep.
But that still helps so much.
It helps so much. But then you're not reheating leftovers per se. You're just pulling something fresh out of the oven that you got a leg up on. Nobody's the wiser. And then the third one is this really delicious poblano chicken salad. We do a massaged kale salad with this yummy poblano dressing with the shredded chicken and crispy chickpeas and sunflower seeds and all kinds of yummy things. And so you get this really fun variety throughout your meal. The shredded chicken's already prepped. The kale is already chopped. Your dressing is already made. All you have to do when it comes to mealtime is to assemble and plate it. So it's still, you are still making dinner when you're ready to make it. It still feels fresh, but the load to actually cook the chicken, wash and chop the kale, make the dressing and get it all put together, that's already done because you were able to carve out time on your prep day whenever that happened.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
It's no secret that most women are not getting adequate protein in their daily diets. We need protein for all major body functions, including hormone production, to maintain a healthy, regular menstrual cycle. The requirements for protein only increase when we become pregnant, are nursing, and recovering postpartum. There are many options on the market for protein and collagen powders out there, and we understand that it can be tricky to vet all of the various brands and types. So let me make it easy for you. The Needed Collagen Powder is my top recommendation for an easy to mix, quick dissolving, and completely tasteless supplemental protein for many reasons. It's grass-fed, sustainably sourced, and has 14 grams of protein per scoop. It passes rigorous third-party testing for heavy metals contamination, and the company keeps this information transparent for the public. I mix mine into coffee, oatmeal, or smoothies almost every day. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Again, head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save.
Okay, back to the show.
Wow. Okay, I have two questions.
Okay.
One, are you serving these meals to your kids?
I am.
Okay, so like you'll put salad on a kid's plate.
Oh, for sure.
I have friends who do that. I know that I'm a naturopathic doctor. Obviously, I would love for my kids to eat salad. Not one single time has my kid eaten salad. None of them. I have four, although only three are eating currently. You know, well, my fourth is kind of like trying, you know. But they're like, no way. And I don't know where this tenet came from because we do, like I said, we eat every single meal together. We eat well. We do not only feed them like classic kid food. They eat everything. We've never sous chef for them, but like 100% know where they're going to eat salad. So all of you families out there who's nodding along with me, you're like, yep, that's okay. They're still going to be okay. But yeah, like you mentioned broccoli earlier, my kids, we call them broccoli monsters. Like I love broccoli. It's my favorite vegetable. So I kind of get a little like protective over my own portion of broccoli because my kids are going to eat it all. And I'm just like, no, like this is my broccoli, you know?
That's so funny.
But so they get it somehow else or in smoothies or whatever it is. But I love hearing that though, that you're giving them all of these different, you know, seasoning spices, poblano and mango salsas and da. Do you, when you're saying that you separate things out onto the plate, is it like you'll put the shredded chicken over here and this over here or no, it's like a pile of the meal, like the casserole is just a pile.
So the casserole is just a pile and I might pull the chicken out and separate some of the meat from the bone. In that example, like the orzo with the vegetables might just be a pile. I will slightly shred some of the chicken and put it next to it because I like to just get the girls to focus on their protein on the plate. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have fruit on their plate as well. In the example of the salad, how I'd probably plate it for the kids at home in that regard is I would take just the shredded chicken and put the shredded chicken on their plate. And then I would probably dress the kale for them. And I would pull dressed kale and put it on their plate and say, this is your salad. Now, they may not all eat all of it. I have one kiddo, my oldest, who genuinely loves any vegetable that puts on her plate. I have a hard time getting her to eat her protein. But she will gobble it up. My other two, I just really, even if it's just two leaves,
yeah,
I just want them to see it there and I want them to taste it. Or try it and decide if they like it or not. And I try to not put any pressure on it. But over time, you never know. You know, like you were saying, you never know what doors might open in their minds.
There's a pretty good stat, I think, that it's like 7 to 11, sometimes even 15 exposures before a kid will try a particular type of food. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, presenting it to them in different ways. There's a really good Instagram account that does this. What is it? Maybe it's like colorful something. If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes, but it shows different ways that you can plate, like, you know, just cucumbers, for instance, like they can be sliced into coins. They can be shredded into little pieces. They can be sliced longwise, like a, you know, celery stick or something, and how all of these little exposures, it does feel like a lot of food waste. That's one of the nice things about having chickens, if anybody can, you know, manage having chickens as your disposals there, but it is nice. Either way though, like, your kid is not going to ever magically start asking for these things, especially if they've never seen it. And so even a small amount for my five-year-old, to her, if literally I will put one black bean on her plate when we're eating something that contains black beans, because she does not like them. She thinks they look weird. I don't know if she's actually ever eaten one, but I just put one on there because I would put, you know, a little pile beforehand. And I've just learned over time, she's not going to eat them. I know she's not going to eat them, but I'm not going to not keep exposing her, you know?
Totally. So. And one day, if she pops it in her mouth and she says, ooh, may I have another one? You're like, you're ready.
Sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's only 10,000 in the can, so here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that's how I do it. And when I do, it's kind of like creating your own. I don't know if you've ever done Blue Apron or Sun Basket or any of those like meal kits where when you get it delivered to you, some of it's already done, but you still do have to do some of the work. It is kind of like creating your own meal kit, right? And so you pick what protein you want, and then you figure out how to make it work across a couple different meals. And then you have this, you know, ready to go kit that should take you 10 to 15 minutes to prep on mealtime. It'll cook a little bit longer, but it takes a lot of that decision. That it reduces the decision fatigue for myself, at least a lot in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so where are you writing this down? Like you mentioned earlier, like a notebook, you have a meal prepping notebook?
I have like my little planner. I have a planner that I just jotted down in what we're eating this week when I'm really on my game.
Okay. And then, I mean, I know you do this professionally, so it's a little different for you, but your recipe gathering phase or looking at stuff, I know these are like really basic questions, but I just can't tell you how I am such a newbie to this concept and this idea because I've never done it before. And I have a handful of recipes that I just know like the back of my hand. And we have, you know, the maybe like sort of top 15 things that we tend to eat as a family, but we get really sick of those things, you know, as well. And it's nice to be trying new stuff and bringing that in. How often are you, would you say that you're doing totally new novel recipes? Is that like every time for you because this is your work, or are you kind of leaning back into family favorites on these days?
I try to, for my own, it is different because I'm a professional recipe developer. And so I joke that my family gets all of the weird trials, and here at the office is where I make the good ones. You know? And so my kids are definitely exposed to a lot of weird foods, but I try to alternate. By weird foods, I mean a recipe I would never give you, Morgan. I would be like, no one needs to make that weird pasta dish that I made for my family tonight.
Okay, because it just like didn't come together the way that you were wanting
it. Yeah, exactly. It was edible. It was nourishment, but it was not the meal experience I want for my readers.
Yeah.
And so my girls, like, that's unique. They definitely are exposed to some of that stuff. But it's still dinner. I'm still kind of like, I'm sorry, this is what is for dinner. Here's your favorite color grape. And that's where I'll meet you at it. And so I will, but I do like to alternate between a meal that they know and love and then something that's new to them. So an enchilada casserole alternated against taco night, alternated against a brand new kind of turkey chili, and then we have follow-up with spaghetti and meat sauce the next night. And so I do try to flip-flop back and forth between something new and interesting that's exciting for me to make and for me to eat. And you never know. Sometimes they blow me away. Sometimes they will just chow down. I made a tortilla soup the other day and I put it in bowls, and sometimes they weren't separated. The ingredients weren't separated. They couldn't see what was in it. It was like this mystery bowl. I was like, here's some chips. This is what I want. I want chicken tortilla soup. You may have some chips with your soup. And all three of them just devoured this soup. They liked the corn. They liked the beans, the chicken, the avocado, all things that I can't get them to eat normally. For whatever reason, my kids won't eat avocado. But they ate it in this soup. And so you just never know. Like, you just keep trying and you might find a new family favorite in that way.
It's true. And there's this concept of, I want to say it's called the division of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about with this? Where it's like, as the parent, you decide what's for dinner or what the meal is, mm-hmm. and when it's served. And the child decides what they're going to eat or if they're going to eat anything and how much of it. Like, we serve it and say, this is the food. If you're hungry, like, here it is. Mm-hmm. And they get to say, no thanks, or I'm only going to eat this one piece, or da da da, whatever. And it's like, you know, we cannot force it down their throats. Like, they can't, you know, they will have to make that choice and decision, but we are still the ones in charge of, I guess, that idea that this is the food, you know, and you're not going to get mac and cheese after this because you didn't eat it or whatever. You're going to, and I mean, I think too, when they see their peers, especially as there becomes more and more siblings, like, I'm wondering if partially that was one of the factors in that meal with the tortilla soup, is like, they look around, they see their sisters eating it, and it definitely helps with a bit of that peer pressure kind of. I mean, same thing with us. Like, you know, you've been at a dinner party, I'm sure, where you're eating something and it's just like, isn't absolutely your favorite thing, but you're kind of like, oh, okay, like, I can see the value in this and other people are eating it.
Yeah.
So, okay, I love that. And then another thing too is portions, so that we're not cooking too much and having tons of leftovers. Like, with your meal prepping, do you find that you guys have a lot of leftovers, or maybe that's good because then you eat them later for the lunches, or how does that work?
Yeah. If we do have leftovers, it turns into lunch for whatever day we have, which is always like another pay it forward to future me. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the leftovers. I will sometimes, if I find that I've made too much. So let's say I have today, I just made Greek meatballs. So ground beef meatballs with Greek spices and other yummy things in them, quinoa, and I'm serving it with an arugula salad for dinner tonight. What I will do tonight after dinner, because we're getting ready to go out of town. We're headed out of town for about 5 days. So if there are leftovers, we won't be here to eat it. So another thing that I will do, whether you're going out of town or not, if you know that you won't eat those leftovers, is just go ahead and package it up as a freezer meal. And again, future you will be so thankful. I think that utilizing our freezers smartly is one of the best things you can do for yourself. Because let's say you have a week that comes up, you don't get to meal prep. It's a cottage cheese and carrot situation, and you're on your fifth cottage cheese and carrot meal for the week, and you just want to cry. Then you're like, oh my gosh, I have those frozen meatballs and arugula in the freezer. I'm going to pull them out and reheat them. And that's dinner tonight. You know, you have this fresh homemade dinner ready to go. And so what I like to do is, yes, if I do have leftovers and I know that I will eat it for lunch, it's like a deal I make with my husband. I will say, will you eat this chili for lunch with me the next few days? Because my kids, I'll just serve it to them. You know, if he's in, then that's what they get as well. And if he's a yes, then we can go ahead and keep it in the fridge and we eat it for lunch. But if it's a probably no, he has a lunch meeting or something else going on, then I will pack it up for the freezer.
Yeah, that is – honestly, I do that as well. And even if it's just one or two portions left of the meal, but I know for some reason we're not going to eat it, it still is so helpful because you just – I mean, even sometimes I'll end up eating something that I had frozen, like a soup or a chili. Often I feel like that's what it is for us that I end up freezing, and I'll have it as sort of a snack if on a day where I didn't feel like I got enough food. And I am so grateful because the boost in your overall nutrition and keeping nourished in this time when we are living our richly scheduled lives, you know, it takes a lot of energy. And when we eat really crappy food continuously, how are we expected to feel well? It doesn't have to be rocket science, but it is an amazing difference when you're eating real meals and real food. And I think this plan that you've outlined of, you know, making one breakfast food that will feed you for several days of the week, one lunch, big batch of lunch, something that will feed you for several days a week, and then three individual different dinners. So the portions for all those things will be like a little bit different, you know, keeps it interesting, keeps it fun. It's not super difficult. And I think one thing that is highlighted to me in this as well is that, and I've been talking about this with my friends lately, is that I feel like I missed the game, the day that I was supposed to learn this somehow along in my life of understanding seasonings and sauces. Like to really work with those two things and how they completely make or break a meal. It's so silly, but I just don't really know how to do it that well. And I should lean into – I honestly don't know beyond a salad dressing if I've ever made a homemade sauce. That sounds like so hard to me. It's probably not. You're like laughing, but to me,
no.
I'm like, what do I do? How do I do it? You know,
I want to like come into your kitchen and make a meal together. I mean, a sauce.
I love that.
An example of a sauce, Morgan, is let's say for taco night. All right. If y'all do a taco night, we do. We'll do crispy tacos. I will take the girl's favorite salsa. It's like a mild salsa jar out of the jar, and I'll mix it with full fat Greek yogurt. That's a sauce.
Literally just mix it with a spoon, not like blend.
No. I mean, it might maybe a fork to help break it up a little bit, but literally that's it.
Okay. And then you're pouring that on the taco, or they're dipping?
Or they're dipping it in the taco. Yeah. It's something different from sour cream and salsa. It's like a little bit of a – it's a little saucier of a sauce, if that makes any sense, than sour cream. That's just an example. You can do that with salsa verde. You can do that with a red salsa. You can do that with sour cream or Greek yogurt. There's just lots of options.
And that's probably a smart way to stock a fridge well that, yes, of course, you can always eat the Greek yogurt with honey or something like that because it's going to be a plain. It's going to be like a plain full-fat Greek yogurt is my guess, right? So then you could eat that as a snack or part of a meal or with a breakfast with berries or whatever. But then, yeah, it's the base for your sauces as well. See, like I do not have this in me. Whatever this is, I need to keep cultivating it and pulling it out like a little – tendril of my being or something, because it just doesn't I feel like I just paralyze. I feel paralyzed. What is that? I feel like, oh, I don't know how to do it. Close the book. It's not happening. Frozen pizza night.
Oh, I get that. I have that. It's just it's in other things. That's very relatable.
Yeah. I think I need to just dive in, and probably a lot of families feel a similar way. Okay. Was there any other kind of like tips that you wanted to give us? And I also am going to make a little special note of that book, Cook Once, Eat All Week, that you had mentioned too as your second book, that is kind of like the one that you think that maybe people would get the most benefit out of. I'll link all of your resources, of course, but that is even just the title of that is appealing to me because I'm like, yes, please. Let's only do it once.
Totally. Yes. I think that's probably the biggest thing. And I also really just want to double down on the sentiment that if you're struggling with mealtime, you're definitely not alone. Like I said, I'm a professional recipe developer. I love working in food. I'm very fluent with the spice cabinet and the sauces and the things. And I still, if I have not done any amount of planning or prep, get completely paralyzed at dinner time. And I'll just look to my husband and be like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's for dinner. And I don't even know how to put one foot in front of the other right now. Like, it just, everything falls off the rails. And so if you feel that way, you're definitely not alone. I think that the way out of it is just a little bit of intentional time in planning. It is so liberating. It might sound like one more thing to do when you already have so many things to do, but it is something that is going to really help everything run a lot more smoothly. You just have to live it to believe it. And so set aside some time to plan. My cadence in my home is Friday evenings. I like to plan for the week to follow. On Saturdays, I collect groceries. On Sunday afternoon, between activities, I will set aside about 2 hours to prep in my kitchen. Now, that's not a solid 2 hours because I have children, right? And I have to go run and help with the puzzle, all the things. Jump on the trampoline, pick leaves for koalas that we're mailing to Australia.
Oh my God.
My oldest is, there's a show called Izzy and the Koalas, I think, on Netflix. And she's in Australia and picks eucalyptus leaves for these koalas. And so my oldest likes to pick juicy leaves from our backyard, and she's made us promise that we're going to ship them to Izzy. Anyways.
Oh my gosh, that is adorable. I love kids for those kinds of things.
It's the best. So there's all kinds of things that you're going to do, and it may not be 2 solid hours, but try to piece it in. Just like doing laundry, we may not be able to sit down and do all the laundry in the house, right, and knock it out in 3 hours, but we do a little bit here and there. Think about your meal prep in the same vein. Do a little bit when you can, get through your list, and your week is going to run so much more smoothly, but it just has to be a to-do that you start to prioritize. And I think you're going to feel a sense of freedom, a sense of levity, and maybe a little bit more joy when it comes to mealtime. You just got to try it out.
I love that. And I think, you know we need to be, especially, I feel like this community, the listeners on this podcast, are people who prioritize healthy eating, healthy living. Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend the time anyways, later on in the week, putting something together that's not that great, probably.
Yeah.
Or you can do it sort of just this once idea. I think what I'm going to do here is give myself like 2 weeks where I really commit to this and see how it goes and just be super, super strict about it, because it's difficult to implement new habits and routines.
Yeah.
In general, but of course, like when you have 4 little kids and but I think if I can wrap myself around the idea of like doing an experiment of it's a finite amount of time, likely I probably will enjoy it and continue to do it. But that is going to be sort of my plan with this. And one more thing I want to say too is just the idea that our kids are watching us, right? This concept, if there's anybody from Europe listening to this, they're probably like, what in the world? Why is this so difficult for this American woman to understand what it's like to make a nice meal every night or meal prep or whatever it is, because I think it's a lot more cultural in certain parts of the world to always have a home-cooked meal and to always be planning and ahead of time and not have it be something – like, of course it wouldn't work 5 minutes before you're wanting to eat to be thinking about this kind of thing. It's more built into that, and then therefore we see, you know, the health effects of that in multi-generational platform ways where it's like, okay, people are living in a very different way, where here we tend to reach out to fast food for convenience because we don't meal plan. We don't have it integrated into our bones as children, having the experience of watching our families do this and helping with the meal prep or whatever. That's another area that I super struggle in because I just don't enjoy extra mess. And because I don't love the process of it, it feels like really difficult. But where I will involve them is more with baking, you know, and I get them involved in that kind of thing. But either way, I just think that there is so much, there's the microcosm, the like little zoomed in. Yes, it's going to make my like moment to moment better when I have like a good meal. But then if we can zoom out too, there is an importance of this on a much bigger level of little people watching what we're doing and having it integrated into their lives the way that they grew up so that they prioritize nourishing and feeding themselves healthy meals in a way that also has systems that can make sense when life gets busy, having that flexibility too, not being so strict about it, not being, you know, so diligent that there's problems arising on like a different kind of flavor later on. Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot here, and but in the just real quick, short-term practical, as a naturopathic doctor and somebody who's specializing in the perinatal world of motherhood, we are so chronically undernourished. And there is this whole thing about, you know, skinny fat, like being maybe thin, but very deeply unhealthy because of the way that you have been feeding yourself, whatever it is. There's just not a lot of micronutrients on board. There are, you know, you're depleted in different things, whatever it is, especially in our pregnancy and postpartum time when our meal needs change and increase a lot. Mm-hmm. Also, simultaneously, our responsibility load is increasing because now we're adding a new human into our family. Ideally, like what I try to get people to do in their preconception time or while they're pregnant, you know, even just the idea of 80 to 100 grams of protein a day is like a tenet that I tell pretty much every pregnant woman and postpartum woman. I'm like, if you can get this going, they're like, what? That sounds crazy. That's like so much protein. I'm like, I get it. It is. And yes, you have to be intentional about your meals. But guess what? When you have a baby in your arms, being intentional about your meals is going to get infinitely harder. So if you can get it on lock now and be really having this just be integrated into your routine and you're not having to think about it a ton, you've got a lot of practice with it, it will serve you so much in your entirety of motherhood rather than trying to only live up to these ideals and new kind of ways that you know that would be healthier once the children have already come. Obviously, for you and I, we're already there. We've got the 3 or 4 kids. Yeah. And it's not to say you can't implement it, but I'm just saying for all of those that have not started that journey yet, or even if you're on your second child, you know you want to have more, it's going to be easier now than when you have 4 kids. So we have to just start at some point and knowing that, you know, like the more or the beginning phase of doing anything, the learning curve feels like it's, you know, at a 60-degree angle or something. It's extremely sharp and it's extremely obnoxious to me, irritating sometimes where you feel like you're bad at something or, you know, it just feels like it takes a lot longer. And then, you know, the 8th, 9th week that you're into it, it's going to just probably be a lot more smooth sailing. I can reach back out to you and tell you how it goes for me and we can, maybe I'll be wrong. Who knows? I hope not, knock on wood, but thank you so much for coming on today and just, you know, being an inspiration in this world. Your Instagram is one of my very favorites. I will absolutely link it. It's so fun to watch you and your big smile and your meal prep and you're so cute. I love the blog too, but also all these tips is really helpful coming from somebody who is walking the talk, you know, living the life with a big family. It's a lot.
And it's about the intention, you know, with all things, right? We set the intention of working out a certain number of times a week and following through on it, you do your best. And the same thing is with meal prep, right? And I think just dust yourself off and try again the next week and you're eventually going to get better at it. There was one question you asked that I think I breezed through that I wanted to answer really quickly. Yeah. You were like, how do you find these recipes?
Oh, yeah.
And how do you get them organized? My tip for that is if you're on Instagram or Pinterest, I would create specific boards or folders. What do they call them on Instagram?
Collections, I think.
Collections. That's it. Thank you. I would create a collection for breakfast. I would create a collection for lunch and I create a collection for dinners. And then when you're scrolling, save them to those folders. So when it's time to meal plan, you can pull it out and just be like, oh yeah, what breakfasts did I see that sounded really good and sounded meal preppy? What dinners did I see that I thought sounded really good? And then pick your 3 dinners from there and your breakfast and your lunch. And then the last thing that we do at Fed and Fit, every Friday we send out a newsletter for our whole readership. It's free. It's just our weekly newsletter. And we give everybody a suggested meal plan. So if you want more inspo, we also have it there. We give folks a breakfast, a lunch, and dinners, and a snack with a shopping list. It's super cool. But it's, yeah. Anyway, so there's lots of inspo out there. But there's, I think that if you can kind of funnel through where you're getting, instead of just looking at a stack of cookbooks and saying, oh gosh, where do I start? I think having folders organized of recipes that you already loved, you know, if you got to digitally dog ear, or if it's something like a newsletter, like what we send out, just a plan, even for inspiration. If you don't want to make the whole thing, you can be like, oh, those 2 dinners do sound like my family will like them. It'll give you a leg up.
Wow. Thank you for that. Okay.
You're welcome.
The newsletter info and your Instagram, your blog, all of it will be available in the show notes so you guys can check her out. Thank you so much, Cassie. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Morgan.
Love you, miss you. We will talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Getting sick while pregnant or breastfeeding is tricky, not only because you feel like crap and need to get back on your feet to grow and take care of your children, but also because you may not know what is safe or effective to take and do to help yourself. The internet is not very helpful when it comes to searching for cold and flu remedies that are safe while pregnant and breastfeeding, so I've made a course that outlines it all for you. I also threw in allergy remedies as well as natural UTI care, because often there are things that can be done to prevent the need for antibiotics. Moms really shouldn't be allowed to get sick, but here we are. Find the course link in the show notes and get back to feeling well by supporting your immune system naturally and safely.
Before you go, there's one last thing. Did you know that we have a swag store now? The Healthy as a Mother store, where we sell amazing merchandise that is fun to wear. We have shirts and hats and sweatshirts. We have drinkware, bags, journals, all of the things that are healthy as a mother or related to motherhood in general. We would love if you could support our podcast by checking out our store. We love doing what we do, and it's really helpful to get the support and also to spread the word and share our amazing brand with the world. And you get some really cool, awesome stuff. One of my favorites is the crop sweatshirt and one of our glasses that we sell that says Healthy as a Mother. I just think it's so great. So head to www.healthyasamother.com/store to check out what we have. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store. And we are absolutely open to feedback. If there's something you would like to see that is not at the store, we can make a lot of different things there. So head over there, check it out, and we would love to see you sporting some Healthy as a Mother gear. And if you take a picture of yourself on Instagram, definitely tag Dr. Morgan and I, and we will be sure to share. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store to check out our merchandise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.